This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. If you would like to contact me, as I've said before, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com. bdcministries is all one word, .com. And you can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now that's Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now the website has a lot of information on it that you might find helpful, and we'd love to get, either through email or through regular mail, your prayer requests or your comments on the program. Now, last time we broke away and spent a little time on the fact that I was going to be turning 80 on June 30th, and we were going to have a party, and we wanted to look at birthdays in the Bible, and we found out that birthdays in the Bible did not fare well. Now, it's nice always to have another one, because the alternative is to be in heaven if you're saved, or to be in eternal conscious punishment if you're unsaved. But fortunately, my health is reasonably good, and I was fortunate to have all my children home for the first time in several years, including my grandchildren, to help celebrate this benchmark birthday of 80 years. Now, if people weren't counting, I wouldn't feel so old, but because people know how to count, it makes me feel as though I've achieved something that maybe I didn't want to achieve. But the option is to, as I've already said, the option is to meet my Savior, and I would like to do that by virtue of the catching away of the Christian called the rapture rather than by way of death. But we'll leave it to the Lord. We're just thankful for the health we have and for the weekend we had. But now I want to go back and look at characteristics of the Lord. We've looked at ways in which he's been named, a name like Jesus, a name like Savior, a name like Shepherd, the Jehovah, the ever-existing one, the I Am. We've looked at a lot of those characteristics, and the characteristics I'm looking at now overlap them in many ways. I'm looking at words that describe him, and we've looked at quite a few of those words last time. Before the birthday celebration, we looked at him as a worm or a maggot, which is found in dead bodies. And we've looked at him as the branch and as the king and as the priest and as a prophet. And we've looked at him as a friend, and today closely associated with this idea of the friend, we want to look at this title, Beloved. My beloved is mine, we see read in the Old Testament. But really, I'm more interested in how the Lord looked at him. And as far as God is concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ was beloved. I know the question is sometimes asked, how could God allow his son to suffer in the way he did at the cross of Calvary? Well, when he did that, he knew that he was taking the most precious thing to him and allowing him to bear punishment that we deserve. And seen in that light, the fact that the Lord was the beloved of his Father, it makes us precious insofar as our relationship with God is concerned. He has given his Son in order that he might have us. Now, of course, he's got his Son too, because his Son was raised from the dead. But at his baptism, we read this, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that's the way God looked at his Son. That was the beginning, really, of the 3.5 years that he ministered on this earth. And that voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It was a public declaration of his relationship, his love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've often felt that if more of us as fathers would do this sort of thing for our sons, instead of criticizing what they do, if we would perhaps make this kind of a public statement where we're proud of them. Maybe our relationship with our children, particularly our male children, might be better. Perhaps the things that we are concerned about, they would correct. I realize that with the Lord, when he was considered the beloved son of his father had nothing to correct, because the son was doing all things that pleased the father, and this plan of salvation had been worked out together in the councils of heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in agreement as to the way in which the Lord would provide for the salvation of a fallen world. And so the Son was carrying out his portion of that great plan, and the God was publicly saying that what he was doing was what he wanted his beloved Son to do, and his Son was beloved. That word beloved is a term of endearment. It means more than a friend. It means more than just someone we are proud of. It's someone we love, but it's someone we love in a personal, endearing way. And so when the Lord made his public declaration of his ministry and was baptized, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so that's the way the Father saw him. And that was repeated, you might say, at his transfiguration. You will remember that Peter and James and John all went with the Lord up onto a mountain where the Lord was transfigured before them. And Moses and Elijah was talking with the Lord. So we know at the Mount of Transfiguration that death is not the end, that Moses died and he was now in the land, but he was there in a spiritual way talking with the Lord. He could talk, he could communicate, he could be recognized. Elijah was there, he could talk, he could communicate, he could be recognized, and they were talking with the Lord, as I understand it, about his coming crucifixion, his coming suffering. And so they knew about the plan of salvation. And while the Lord was there, he was transfigured. That is, he began to look differently. His clothing got white and glistening. It was as though the light that he had been willing to veil while he was here as a man, that light, that halo was seen in the Lord as he was talking with these men on the Mount of Transfiguration. But while he talked with Moses and Elijah, suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear him." And so it isn't that we're supposed to hear Moses. It isn't that we're supposed to hear Elijah. We are supposed to hear the words of the Lord. And that's what encourages us today. It's the Lord who said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." It's the Lord who said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's the Lord who said that he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's the Lord who was carrying out what I would consider the most difficult part of the plan of salvation, but he was willing to do it. And so he was commended publicly by his Father as he began his public ministry. And when we come to the Mount of Transfiguration during his public ministry and shortly before he has to go to the cross, he is commended again and encouraged by the public declaration of love between him and his Father. Now, if he's that to the Father, what is he to us? Well, when we go back to the Song of Solomon, there's a picture, a poem, a metaphor that's given to us showing the relationship of the bride, which would picture the church, to the bridegroom, which would picture Christ. And apparently this bridegroom had a harem. They are called the Daughters of Jerusalem. And the Daughters of Jerusalem asked the bride, "What is thy beloved?" Notice that word. "What is your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us?" And many people are asking, those of us who love the Lord that same thing today. Why do you love the Lord when in fact he had to go to a cross and die? Why do you love the Lord when there is so much pain in the world, even though the Lord was willing to suffer that pain at the cross of Calvary? What is your beloved more than the pagan gods? And what is your beloved more than those gods of the pagan people of old, the Egyptian gods, the Greek gods, the Roman gods? What is your beloved more than that? What is your beloved more than no God at all? And we're asked why we are attracted to him. And all I can say is that once we see the sin that Christ died for, and when we see the price he paid for us to go free, we can say like the bride when she answers them, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chief among 10,000. I think she's saying he's head and shoulders above anything close. Nobody else even compares to him. If you were to look for him in his army, he would stand head and shoulders above all the rest. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, inlaid with sapphire." And she goes on, and there's parts of this picture that I fully I grasp the beauty of it, and that it must have meant a lot to her. It's not something that I understand from their culture, but I understand that gold is precious, and the way she's describing him using precious stones means that she sees beauty in him, and that she likes the way he looks, she likes the way he speaks, and she says, "Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." And that settles it. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, you, O daughters of Jerusalem. And so my question is today, if the God who is in heaven saw the Lord as his beloved son, and if the bride sees the Lord as her beloved, in probably her beloved husband, but maybe at this point they were just engaged, how do we see the Lord? Why do we see beauty in him, and are we willing to tell others why he means so much to us? Can we tell them that we realize that we had nothing but sin to offer God? We were disobedient. We may have done a lot of good things in our life, but we obviously have a lot of evil thoughts in our minds, even if they don't get worked out in our lives. And so we realize that there's a certain something in us that needs redemption, and Christ paid the penalty that we deserve to pay throughout the endless ages of eternity. God is too righteous to accept sin into heaven. He had to put it away. He had to forgive it. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And yes, for those of us that are saved, we can say, "Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend." Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who will hear it. And we just trust that we've spoken well of the Lord Jesus, and that others will find him as attractive as we do, and will come to him and trust him for salvation. We ask these mercies in our Savior's name. Amen.